This is the Schnauzer Logic Radio Company.
And this is Schnauzer Logic, the podcast, episode number 11, being recorded on Wednesday, the 12th of April, the first night of Passover, 2006.
Groundbreaking, critically acclaimed, smash hits, HBO original series. And now, the HBO original series.
Schnauzer Logic.
A man's wife goes kayaking for the day but never comes home. He calls the police, who immediately mount a search. "Sir, I'm sorry to say that we found her body last night at the bottom of the bay," says the trooper. "But we have some good news, and we have some great news." "How is that possible?" he cries. "Well, when we pulled her up, she had 2 25-pound king crabs on her," replies the cop. "So what's the great news?" "We got 4 more crabs when we pulled her up again this morning."
Clinton, liberals, dittos.
I'm Dr. Mora, and I'm my poodle's mother.
Today on All Things Considered to Death, Moss.
Yeah, baby, show me your...
Son of Easta, my friends, Son of Easta, and welcome! You have managed to tune in, latch on, and otherwise download that stream of bits known around the world as Schnauzer Logic. Yes, this is Schnauzer Logic, the podcast, episode number 11, being recorded on Wednesday, April the 12th, 2006. My name is Robin Goldstein. I'm your host. I'm your buddy. I'm your pal. I'm also a straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman pad attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning, and I am thrilled and delighted to invite you. No, to welcome you. I do that every week. I don't have to invite you. You're already here. And I'm thrilled and delighted to welcome you to yet another episode of Schnauzer Logic, the podcast. We got a great, great show for you today. Another big show. Won't be quite as big as the last few weeks, I think. Turns out that when we run over the hour mark, we kind of screw up the stream. So apologies to Ethan. We're going to try to keep it to under the two-hour results. But it's going to be hard. Lots going on today. First of all, the big news is going to be the return of Parviz Vitali. He's here. He's in the studio. I'm staring at him, glistening in the sun. A gorgeous specimen of human being. Skin-ish. I don't know. Kippadada. We get the second part of Kippadada. We got parts 2A. We got the parts 2A and we got the parts 2B. We also, we got a lot of good stuff going on today. You know what? I'm so thrilled that Parviz is back that I'm a little distracted. Also, he's changed his look. That seems to be a theme for the Schnauzer Logic podcast. So let me punch down his button here and say, "Son of Easton, welcome back, Parviz Vitali."
Son of Easton, Robin.
Son of Easton.
What do you mean it's a podcast and you need to change your look?
Apparently, we all change our look a little bit here on the podcast.
Who changed their look?
Well, you're...
I'm different, but who else?
Well, me from the last time that I did radio.
Oh, okay, but not from last week.
I don't know.
Okay.
Hair's longer.
How about... Yeah. How's Sean? Say, he looks the same?
Looks the same. He's not here.
Unbelievable.
He's missing in action.
Unbelievable. Now, he's not here when I'm here.
This is interesting because I've begun to notice that I don't ever see you and him
together. Time. Right.
I wonder if he's kind of like, which one of you would be Superman and which one of you would be Clark
Kent?
Yes.
He would have to be Clark Kent. I would be Superman.
You look more like Lex Luthor, though.
Really? Lex Luthor?
This is an interesting look for you.
I shaved my head, my
you
friends
did.
Out there in podcast land.
You did. You shaved your head and you're growing a goatee.
For many years. Actually, I had a goatee right before you met me, and I shaved it off right before I met Robin. And this was 5 years ago. And so, and as you well know, and when you met me, I was doing comedy. And most of my comedy was about my hair loss and blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
So I was, all my life, I've always wanted to shave my head.
Really? All your life?
No.
Did your parents take you to a
Right around two. I was like, you know what? I need a different look.
Were you watching the old Charlie Brown cartoons?
I was watching the Banana Splits. And I said, you know what? I need to change my head.
La, la, la.
Wasn't that a good show?
It was a good show.
All right. So Flegal. I've always wanted to shave my head, and this was a great opportunity. Always since I was 13. That's when I started losing my hair at the age of 13.
No.
Yeah, I was in junior high school, I think in the what is it? The 7th grade?
Sure.
I don't remember what junior high school is.
Nobody cares.
Oh, no. 8th grade. Yeah.
It's not really important to the story.
I started losing my hair, and wow. I was freaking out. And I knew by the time I was 18, I would be totally bald. But that wasn't the case. And now I'm 35, and you know, I had that cancer look. It's not funny.
You mean the cancer, the zodiac sign?
I had the sporadic hair loss going on. I had my hairline, but sporadic. So I wanted to shave my head, and I finally did. Why? Because I started my new job last week.
Which we're going
to
get into. By the way, we're 6 minutes into this episode of Schnauzer Logic, the podcast. As always, www.schnauzerlogic.com is the website. robin@schnauzerlogic.com is the email address, and we're over on myspace.com/schnauzerlogic. So this is a shave in connection with the new job.
Oh, yeah, totally for the new job, which is actually good because there's some hard-ass looking people over there at the new job.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, baldness is a sign of virility. It means you have extra testosterone floating around your system.
I understand, but I did this on purpose.
Yeah, but you were kind of balding.
What do you mean, kinda?
Well, you had thinning hair.
I had patches. I looked like a Barbie doll that had been through the wash. I looked like a dog got to me. I was a mess. But
How about the rest of your body? A lot of hair there?
Oh, I've got more hair than a monkey. No, that's not true. There was an old joke from a guy who goes, I have hair in places monkeys don't. You know, I forgot he said, I think it's Fred Wolf. Anyways, my body's all right. But the head is,
isn't
you know.
That, isn't that sad, too?
What's that?
That the one place on your body that you actually want some hair.
No, I don't know if I necessarily wanted hair. You know what's funny? It's like the last five
years
of my life.
You get an earring, you look like Mr. Clean.
With a goatee.
With a goatee.
You know, I should bring an old picture of me and a new picture of me. So who do you think I look like? With the bald head, the goatee, who do I look like now, television, movie-wise, personality-wise?
You look a little like Dave Attell, stand-up comedian Dave Attell.
Okay.
You look a little bit like those terrorists that...
hijacked Flight 93.
Pretty much.
Right.
Yeah, you look like every FBI mugshot.
Oh, good. Good.
Turn your head to the side for a second. Okay, perfect. That's you, my friend.
I don't look like Howie Mandel, though, right?
A little like Howie Mandel from
that's,
Deal.
That's an insult.
Or No Deal.
That is a total
He's
insult.
He's got those two earrings going on. That's kind of...
Watch Howie Mandel. He has no... head on the back. It's like it goes from scalp to neck. There's no curve.
Well, let me see this. So you, what you're saying is you have a beautiful skull. You got a little ridge going on over there.
I know.
That's where the villagers take refuge when the...
That's where I keep all my thoughts.
All right. Listen, we got to say hello as we do every week to our regulars. We have them with us. We don't have Sean at this point. He may be here, but we do have our regulars. We've got Mr. Kip Adada. Actually, we got a little more from Kip this week.
Ah, that's shit. It's shit.
I like that. I don't know which one I like better. I don't know if I like this one or I like this one.
Ah, that's shit. It's shit.
He sounds like that one guy, that guy that killed his wife, Bonnie Bakley. What's that guy's name?
Oh, Robert Blake.
Yeah, he sounds like a really pissed off Robert Blake, doesn't he?
Well, I mean, Robert, that's really pissed off because Robert Blake sounds like a pissed off Robert Blake. And we have Michael Zwirling.
Stroke or unload?
Oh, he's a little loud this
week.
Wow. And we have
I felt that stroke.
Dick Cheney. Oh, God. Harry Whittington. But mostly we have Kip Adada.
Ah, that's shit. Shit.
Oh, shit. I've heard the last two podcasts, and I've thoroughly enjoyed the Kip Adada interviews.
Well, we got more of that today. We got
that's
parts 2A and parts 2B. But you got some email there, so...
I did.
You want to...
Yeah. I'll address it right now.
You want to share? You know, tell you what. I want to share that. But you have friends who are listening to the show.
Mm-hmm.
And Sean, we don't know about, but... Mike Lima had volunteered to be on the show with us here.
Oh, cool.
And so I think we're going to give him a call right now and kind of see whether we put him on the air. How's that sound?
Yeah,
all right?
Yeah. Let's
all right,
do
so
it.
Let's see here. Hold on a second. I got this new phone system here, which may work. So
he's emailed and said he wanted to come on, huh?
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Well, I can hear something.
You've reached Mike Lima. I'll be out of the office Tuesday, April 11th. I'll be turning back into the office Friday, April 14th. If you have any urgent telecom requests, please call extension 742. Otherwise, go ahead and leave a message and I'll get
back Tuesday.
To you. I will be checking voicemails
until
throughout
the
time that I am
Did
gone.
Did he say that?
So
yeah.
I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Thank you.
To disconnect, press 1. To enter another number, press 2. If you still want to leave a message for this person, press 3. Or simply stay on the line.
Stay on the line.
At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Daddy? Daddy, when are you coming home to me and Mommy? Daddy? Daddy? Why do you wear leather? Daddy, I don't understand. And how come you smell of herring all the time? Daddy? Daddy, Mommy says she forgives you for having sex with the dog. Daddy, are you there?
Does he have any kids?
He has like 17, I think.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mikey, it's us. What's
up?
Yeah.
Ha 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 ha. Ha ha. Mikey. Ha ha. Sherrod, you are Mikey. Ha ha.
You know, I hope we didn't divulge any kind of information on his
company
answering machine there.
Yeah. Well, we'll cut that out.
Yeah. Okay.
Mikey.
That's shit.
Mike, call us back right away.
Yeah, right away. Okay, we need you. We got about $1 million here for you, Mike. We got
to.
Oh, he's gone.
That's too bad. All right. Well, that didn't work out like we wanted.
But that was Mikey.
Yes, that was Mikey. And he's funny. You can tell just from his message that he's funny.
Oh, yeah. Mike's very funny.
Yeah, he's a funny guy. Because that's a funny answering machine message.
Well, no, it wasn't.
Okay. So tell me about your
email.
It's
more informative. Okay, so I get an email.
Yeah, yeah.
I should say you got the email.
Yes, they're writing to me. Well, that's because I give the email addresses robin at schnauzerlogic.com. Do you want to give out your email address?
No, but I want you to forward these emails to me.
Oh, I see.
Because I believe you have my email.
I fucked up. All right.
So this is from a gentleman we'll just call Ken.
You don't want to use the last name?
Nah.
Okay, fine.
So he's a very good friend of mine from my last job at the supermarket.
Safeway.
Yeah. And
Ken works at Safeway.
Yeah, well, yeah, now he does. He still does. He always has.
Well, not always.
No, not when he was 2.
he's worked at Safeway as long as you've wanted to be bald.
Correct. Kenny is a very funny individual, and I got to tell you what's going on. In the last 2 weeks, I haven't been here, but he just discovered the show.
We know that you haven't been here.
Right. Kenny gave me some insight on the show, and I'd like to share it with you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, this is his feelings. He is, as far as I'm concerned, probably one of the funniest people I've ever worked with.
Okay.
He's funny, but
does
not...
Does he have a voicemail? We can call him.
No.
Okay.
But he's funny, but he not everybody gets him, but I kind of do get him. And from what I understand by these emails, I don't think you really get him either. But he's kind of on the wacky side.
Oh, yeah.
But he's very... he's a funny guy. He's a
wacky,
funny cat.
I like wacky.
Okay. He told me... This is what he told me, Robin. He thinks you are terribly funny.
Terribly funny.
Very, very funny. He told me the other day, he goes, Robin is funny. He's been downloading the other episodes.
Oh, all the podcasts.
Yeah, so he's caught up to date. And he told me, he goes, Robin is funny. He told me about me.
Yeah.
He says, you're not funny. I said, what do you mean? He goes, you're not funny. You don't say anything intellectual. You don't say anything worthwhile. You're absolutely not funny at all. And he was very serious. And
that's
it kinda,
cold.
Yeah, that kind of hurt.
That's harsh.
Sean? He
funny?
Thinks is the funniest person
yes.
on the planet.
Yeah.
He loves Sean's sense of humor. He loves his intelligence. He thinks Sean is just, he's the callback king. He thinks Sean's the callback king.
I think that's true.
And so as far as me, he was disappointed in my performance in the last 8 episodes of the podcast.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, that's a little harsh. And I have to address it because...
Well, this is your time.
This is my time. So
call
Kenny,
him out.
Kenny, I must agree with you. No. No, I mean, I'll believe you, Kenny, but I hear some of the old podcasts and I crack up. But
I think you're funny.
Well, I thank you, Robin. That's why I love
you. See, but
he
doesn't know me.
Actually, he does. He knows more about you probably than he does anything else because...
Is that something to be worried about?
No, because I used to talk about the comedy and I used to say, oh, Robin was this, Robin was that. And we used to talk about whenever you and I went out to those coffee shops and we did horrible comedy,
God.
He would know about that.
All
and
right.
So he knew. But oh, and he also, he's heard a couple of the old Santa Cruz radio...
Oh, we heard the old shows in KSEL.
Yeah, when they were live.
Okay.
Because I would tell him, like, oh, I'd be on between this time and this time,
so put on the
radio.
So he'd listen to that.
So he's heard your show maybe once or twice. But the podcast, he's a listener. He's a
Well, we appreciate
listener.
That.
Yeah.
We appreciate
Kenny,
Ken's
we
listening.
Love
We love you, Kenny.
And I'm working on my comedy, Kenny. Hang in there, okay?
So you now have a goal. Your goal is to make Kenny laugh.
My goal is to make Kenny... Now, Kenny has known me for a good 5 years, and we take breaks together every day.
Not
right?
anymore.
Not anymore. But we used to take breaks together, and he was kind of harsh to me. He would say, like, you know, what are you trying to be funny? You're not funny, blah, blah, blah. On occasion, I would get the guy to laugh, genuinely laugh. But I think he gave me that courtesy laugh.
He's a tough audience.
Yeah, he is a very tough audience. So for him to say you're funny and Sean's a great asset to the show is definitely he doesn't know Sean, so he has nothing to lose, right?
Listen, different things are funny to different people.
Yeah, I tell you. Oh, this is the other thing about Kenny. One more thing about Kenny.
Yeah.
He hates potty humor. He absolutely hates potty humor. No, not potty, but bad words and cussing and cursing, right?
Okay.
So when I first met Kenny, I think the first thing I said, hey, what the hell's going on? Oh, this shit, blah, blah, blah. He was like, you know what? I don't like cussing. Please. And as I got to know Kenny, I learned to cut down on my cussing, and I wasn't cussing as much, and I became more of a prune, I guess is what it was, right? Kenny got
what?
Me out. Kenny got me out.
A prune?
A prune. Dried up, boring kind of person. Right?
I think of prunes as being sweet and succulent fruits.
Okay, I didn't say the word succulent. You did.
Yes.
So anyways, Kenny kind of got me. I get cleaned up when I'm around Kenny. So Kenny hears our podcast, and that's why he mentioned one of the emails that Robin is a little bit of a potty mouth. But nonetheless, he still finds you very funny.
Well, that's very nice.
So Kenny, if you're out there, buddy, I'm doing this for you. I dedicate the show to Kenny.
All right.
Mad props
to Kenny.
Oh, and by the way, I need some rim shots, he says. You need to be on top of the rim shots.
All right.
If that's possible.
It is.
Because, you
Not
know.
Not right now.
Yeah,
but
because Kenny says my 2 cents that I put into the show.
You don't get rim shots?
I don't get. Well, not only that, they're not funny unless there's a rim shot. So anyways.
We'll take a break.
Okay.
We have to take a break at this point.
All right.
All right. We're 18
Hang
minutes
in there,
into
Kenny.
This first hour of Schnauzer Lodge of the podcast.
Hang in there, Kenny.
All right. And you don't have Kenny's number in your car or anything like that, do you?
I do have Kenny's number in the car, but he never answers his phone. His wife answers the phone.
So we shouldn't try to get him on, or we should try to get him on?
One of these weeks we're going to get
you
him on.
You want to run out and get the thing during the song break?
Okay. Actually, I
Could
will.
Could you do that?
I will. And we'll call Kenny. See if he answers.
We'll call him over here.
All right.
All right, good. So here's what we're going to do. So I'm going to turn him Parvise's mic off so he can bolt out of the room. We're going to play a tune. Let me find something that looks appropriate here. What would be a good tune to play? We got music from all over the world. Let's play Barrelfish. I like that. Barrelfish is from San Jose. Do you know Barrelfish?
No.
Okay. You're going to leave the room. You know, the moment Parvise is off mic, now he's got something to say. We'll play a little Barrelfish, and then we'll come back, and maybe we'll talk to Kenny. Oh, what the hell happened there? I don't know. You're listening to Schnauzer Lodge, the podcast. Robin Goldstein, Parvise Vitali, inviting you to please stick around.
I want to know why you like to dress up like a girl sometimes.
This is Schnauzer Logic.
There's a light in the sky that I can't seem to find. In and out of my mind, can you see it? All I can see as the dark spies on me. Flickering light across a raging sea. Nothing but space between you and me.
I can't catch up, I can't walk fast enough.
Yeah.
forgotten lines, off to some shallow, left there to pine. Finally gave up on finding that light, swallowed in jet black, nary a sign of any reflection, willing to shine.
Feel that in every way, this new radio series offers an unusual opportunity to combine broad popular appeal with truly distinguished radio treatment.
Oh, and this one time, at band camp, I stuck a flute in my pussy.
Frisco!
Hello?
This is Schnauzer Logic.
Welcome back. We are 24 minutes into this episode of Schnauzer Logic, the podcast. Robin Goldstein, Parviz Fatale.
Hey.
How you doing?
Good. I'm
glad
to
hear
be
about
back.
This new job, but maybe we can talk about it with Kenny. Does Kenny know that you're, he knows you're not there?
Yes.
Was he at your store, by the way? Did he work with you at the Safeway?
Yes. He was a scan coordinator.
He was a what?
Scan coordinator.
What the hell is a scan coordinator?
Price changer kind of guy. Changes prices every week.
How does that work?
You got to ask Kenny.
All right. Well, we're going to try that.
Yeah, let's call Kenny right now.
We'll try that. All right. Hold on.
You can keep talking.
All right. Well, I was just going to tell Kenny, prelude to our calling Kenny is, I hope he doesn't mind. It'll be, oh, by the way, whoever answers the phone, tell him that.
Well, I'm going to let you talk.
No. Ask
for
Kenny.
We're going to be on the phone.
And then say this is Robin Goldstein. See if he gets excited.
How you doing?
Okay.
Hello.
Hi, is Kenny there?
No, I'm sorry. He's not available right now. Could you call back later?
Yeah, okay. All right, I'll get on that. All right, thank you.
Okay.
Bye. It's kind of aggressive.
Was that his wife?
No, that was his son.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but did you see the way the son kind of... No, he's like, call back later.
Maybe he recognized your voice. Maybe I should have been the one who called.
Wow, it's like he was like busy on the other line with his girlfriend or something.
Maybe. So tell me about new... So we want to hear all about this new job.
Okay, so I started my new job on...
So for people who don't know, give us a little bit of background.
Well, I left...
That's enough.
Okay. And then I... So I started my new job. I left after 12 years of working for Safeway.
The head of the dairy department.
Yeah, I did a lot of things, but I left there being the head of the dairy department.
Okay.
And I left there and I started a brand new job. I became a commercial plumber.
So you're now a plumber's apprentice.
I'm now a plumber's apprentice.
And John DeCoven said when he was here a couple of weeks ago, he goes, I can't believe it was your childhood dream to become a commercial plumber. And I said, I don't think that it was his childhood dream to become a commercial plumber. I know it was his childhood dream to be bald. I remember that. I remember you talked about that.
Right. That was a dream that came true.
So how did you, before you get into it, how did you decide that this is what you wanted to do?
I was at a bachelor party. Okay, about 3-4 years ago.
Okay. Now you're aggressive. Kenny's kid really falls over here. Okay.
You're right. I shouldn't talk like that. So I was at a bachelor party. I met a guy. I know it sounds weird. I met this guy at a bachelor party.
That doesn't sound weird.
Okay. And he told me about this job that he also worked for Safeway. And he said he took a test, blah, 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 and now he's an apprentice plumber. And
so you're following this guy's footsteps.
Right. So this guy said, you should take this test. So I did, and here we are.
But why plumbing as opposed to electrical work or sheetrock or why did you become a carpenter?
Well, the money definitely was the attraction.
For being a plumber. But I guess all these construction jobs must have pretty good...
Electrical. If it was an electrical, to be an electrician, I would have taken the test if it was the same It didn't matter. It happened to be commercial plumbing.
So you were just looking to get into a career where you had better potential for earning down the road.
Exactly.
So let me back up a little bit here. Okay. I want to interview about this. So how did you wind up at Safeway? How long, you were there for 17 years?
I was there, no, for 12 years.
12 years. Oh, yeah. Well, sorry. Excuse me. You were there for, no, no, geez, what are you, out of your fucking mind? No, no. I was there for 12 years. Okay, I'm sorry.
That's five years.
I know it's 5 years, but it's not like you were there for 6 months. Okay, so you were there for 12 years. So that's a long time. I've never worked anywhere for 12 years. The longest I've been anywhere is 10. So you've worked at Safeway longer than I worked anywhere.
Wow.
Okay, so that's a long amount of time. So was this something that you just kind of fell into?
I totally fell into the job.
How did that happen?
I was looking for work.
Met this guy at a bachelor party?
Actually, I met this guy at a parking lot, right? And he worked for Safeway.
He said, hey kid.
You want candy? I said, no, but I want a job. He goes, all right, come here. So he works for Safeway. He worked in the dairy department. Oh. And he said, you know what? They need help at the store in the dairy. And I walk in, and you're supposed to take a pee test. For drugs.
What kind of... Oh, pee test.
A pee test, right?
Okay.
Supposed
all right.
to urinate in a
cup. Urine test.
Right. Okay. But the guy hired me. He was so desperate for help, he hired me immediately. And this was in 94.
So what does that mean?
It means that they're so desperate. He goes, do you do drugs? I said, no. He goes, all right, I'm putting it down. You don't do drugs. You pass the pee test. That's how good this manager was. He put me in the dairy department. And that's it. My career started from there. I worked dairy for like 8 months. And then I went to a night crew. And then I changed different stores. And I bounced around different stores. And then I ended up in the dairy department. And
did you ever think that maybe you'd move into management? I mean,
you know what? Management wanted me to move into management. They kept on pushing me.
So why didn't you do that?
Because it just doesn't pay. It was like 12 hours a day of stress, and it wasn't worth it. It just absolutely wasn't worth it.
So you'll make more as an apprentice plumber in the next 5 years than you would have as someone who'd been
a store manager.
As really? What do store managers make? Approximately
70, 80, 90,000 a year.
At Safeway?
Correct.
Well, that doesn't sound like a bad deal.
We'll break it down to 12 hours a day. And if you break that down by hours, that ain't much. So I'm saying I can work as an apprentice plumber. I can work as a plumber 8 hours a day, and I'll be making in 5 years more than $100,000 a year.
All right. So is the hours.
By just working 40 hours a week.
So Safeway managers work 12 hours a day?
Yeah. They come in at 5 in the morning. They leave at 5 in the afternoon. They'll come in at 5 in the morning.
But they don't work 7 days a week.
Sometimes they do. Sometimes they do. Because they are like, they don't belong to the union. So they're free to work as many hours as they need. And when their bosses come down on them saying the sales are low, you got to do this, you got to do this, they sometimes don't have a day off. They work 14 days straight. It's slave.
So how do you get above that? How do you get to the place where you're no longer managing the store? What about that? Why wasn't that a career path for you to become like the regional deputy manager of, I don't know, eggs?
It just never appealed to me.
Really?
Appeal to me.
Well, I don't get it.
I don't either.
It's not even a joke.
Well, you peel an egg, don't you? Hard-boiled egg, you peel it. Never appeal to me.
I don't... No, that would only make sense if you're talking about fruit.
All right.
Okay, that was for Ken.
That was for Ken.
And this is for Robin.
Oh, that's shit. It's shit.
I love that bit. That's a good one.
Isn't that good?
No, it just never appealed to me. It just never did. I never appealed
so
to
you
me.
Fell into this job at Safeway. You were there 12 years. You woke up one morning and you said to yourself, what the fuck am I doing here? I'm married. We want to have children. I'm going to be working in rotating stock for the rest of my life. I need to do something else.
And everybody was so kind to me. Everybody I've ever met in my life, like, oh, that's nice. You know what? Safeway was a good job in the 60s, well, 70s,
make it sound
and
like
early
that's
80s.
Bad. Yeah.
No, but we talked about a few podcasts before. Remember when you said a friend of yours worked for Whole Foods?
Yeah.
And it's not a crap job. It really isn't. But for this valley, they haven't improved at all.
All right. So you would have taken anything that came along. So you're this is just sort of the next thing that came along that looked interesting.
It just happened to come along. It looked
interesting. But this is a big commitment for you. I mean,
But you know what, Robin? I would have worked anyways for the next 5 years. I plan on working for the next 5 years. Might as well try to learn a trade and try to improve myself. And learn to trade and make money.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I think this is great. And obviously, we're all pulling for you to be successful. But
I know.
Why this instead of something else, I guess, is the
question.
Because
I never really, I guess I never looked for something else. I wasn't sitting around. And you know what? The band thing I've been doing ever since I've been working for Safeway. Band thing I've been doing for 12 years.
All right.
I've been in a band for over 12 years. So the band was always my exit to the everyday ho-hum of a job.
I see.
And that really distracted me from ever, like, really looking at my life and seeing what more I could do in my life as a job.
So do you get to keep doing the band thing now?
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
So how long have you been on the job?
A week and a half.
All right, and you're on a site someplace?
No, I work for a company, and they make heating and air conditioning, and they do some plumbing work and blah, blah. It's like they do sheet metal. And,
HVAC?
Yeah.
So are you working a break?
Huh?
Are you bending metal with a break?
Well, actually, today I just learned how to solder and a braze.
Okay.
And a couple weeks back, we went to KNTV News 11, the local
news
station.
Yeah, I know who they are,
here.
Sure.
And we had to do some work over there, monkey work over there. I didn't really
monkey
do
work?
It. Yeah, monkey work. And then we went to, in Palo Alto, we went to a biotech lab.
All right.
And I went with my boss, and he showed me how to cap off some gassy pipes that needed to be capped. So we went under, you know, below the ground, take out the pipes and cap. He showed me how to do it, and we had four of them to do. I did three. So I'm just kind of on the job training.
I don't
really know what I'm doing, but he's saying, look, do this. So as I'm doing it, he's explaining to me what's going on.
How old are these guys that you're working with?
Well, actually, my boss is 42.
All right.
And for the most part, a lot of these guys are in their 50s. 45, 50s.
All right.
And they've been around for 30 years doing the same thing.
All right.
And people come and go.
Good guys?
So far.
Married?
So far. No, they're all divorced.
Is that right?
Yeah, that is the most.
What's that all about?
You know, I asked my boss. He's going through a divorce now, and everybody else that I've met is divorced. From what I understand, these people are workaholics, and they're never home, and they're always doing side jobs on the weekend.
Well, so that's the same as working 12 hours a week, 12 hours a day at Safeway.
And did I say that they were married or divorced?
The guys at Safeway?
Uh-huh.
They must all be married.
Divorced.
Okay.
Yeah. No woman likes a guy who's working, which is interesting because, okay, I won't work that much, but I'll go out and have an affair.
Well, but that doesn't take a lot of time.
To have the...
That's
true.
Right?
That's true. Does it take 12 hours to have an
affair? No, that's the whole point.
And you're bringing home money. And I would imagine...
You're having an affair?
I'm all confused here.
I'm all lost.
But this is the thing. Any woman that can stay home and watch Deal or No Deal and not be bothered by her husband,
all right,
and he's out there... Oh, now you're lost. Now you're disinterested.
No. I love you.
All right.
No, I'm looking to play music so we can take another break.
Well, anyways, the new job so far is going fine.
So you've been there for about 10 days.
Been there about 10 days.
And you've been on three or four sites.
Been on three or four sites, yeah.
All right.
And I'm just learning.
Did you hurt yourself yet?
You know what? I cut my side of my hand the first day.
Using a butter knife?
Yeah, I was using a dull butter knife, and I think I was spreading mayonnaise on my bread. Oh!
Did you explain to them that you had to clear a toilet? I have this Parviz patented way of clearing a toilet.
I'm surprised you haven't said anything about me being Persian and working with pipes. Nothing?
No, because I don't think that's funny.
I think Kenny would agree with you.
Turn to the side and go, ooh la 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 la. La, 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 la. Yeah, there you go.
Plumbing.
So far, no buyer's remorse.
No, I'm very excited, Robin. I'm very excited. I'm learning something.
When you get home at the end of the day, you're tired?
I'm sore? I'm filthy. More filthy than I've ever been at Safeway. I'm just filthy from head to toe because I'm outdoors. I'm in dust. I'm in oil. My head's a mess. My hands are filthy.
So probably having your head shaved makes it easier just to get cleaned up,
yeah,
right? I mean, you kind of get in the shower, hot water.
Hot water. I scrub myself down like a lotto ticket. Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, with a coin
like
and everything.
I like that.
Thank you.
And how's Melanie doing? This is your wife.
She's doing very good.
And
she's ecstatic and she's happy and...
She's digging this.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, she's totally digging it because she knows that her life is going to change real soon because hopefully I'll be making as much as both of us and therefore she doesn't have to work.
Well, I mean, you're probably looking 5 years before that happens.
No, probably about 2 or 3 years.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. For what she brings into the family and what I bring into the family, I'll be making that in probably like 2 to 3 years. And then what happens is, okay, now you don't have to work.
You work
on
weekends?
5 years. No.
No weekends.
No, Saturday.
What time
Sunday
you start out? In the morning?
6 in the morning.
So you get to the job site at 6 in the morning or the guy picks you up? Or
nope, I get to the job site at 6 in the morning.
Okay.
And that's the only thing I don't like about this job so far is I don't know what I'm doing every day when I get in at 6 in the morning.
Right.
When I was working at Safeway, I knew exactly where to go, what
right.
to do.
Time to make the donuts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so you work from 6 until?
2:30.
So you're done by 2:30?
2:30 in the afternoon.
So you get home.
I get home, I
you
shower.
You get something from the ex-wife.
Something
from the wife.
Right, and then I go to the club, I go exercise, and then I come and...
No, really?
Yeah, I do.
No, you don't.
I know, looking at me, you don't believe it, but I do. I do go exercise.
Okay.
I go exercise for the ladies.
At the club?
At the club.
You go to the club
to
exercise.
Club.
Okay.
Yeah,
the bada bing.
To be totally honest with you, I just hang out near the water faucet.
Okay.
But I do go to the club.
Water faucet?
Fountain?
Are you like a wildebeest? Are you like a raccoon that needs some moisture in order to be able to eat your crackers?
I just throw moisture under my arms.
What the hell are you talking about? Hang up by the waterfront. Now I know that you're a plumber. Because you don't hang out by the fountain. You hang out by the actual plumbing. Most people go and they hang out where the water comes out, but not you, my friend.
No.
You're hanging out in the back.
I'm actually
where the real water
the
works are being done. All right.
And then lately I've been kind of watching too much TV. I've been into everything night. American Idol, Apprentice, Deal or No Deal. It's too much TV.
All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we'll play the first part of the Kippadotta interview.
Cool. Which third will be part.
But first part of the second part. Oh. It's very confusing to me.
All right, I haven't been here.
I know. I'm sorry, but you're going to dig it. Today's two parts are outstanding.
Oh, good.
Last week were kind of background and stuff, but today he dishes the dirt.
Okay.
And it's rocks.
He is very interesting.
Yes.
He's very interesting.
He is.
He has a great insight about comedy.
Good guy. All right. So we'll take a break, play a tune, come back, a little Kippadotta. Robin Goldstein, Parviz Vitali, Schnauzer Logic. Stick around.
For more Schnauzer Logic.
Ain't it funny how you're always first in line? Ain't it funny how you'd rather lose your mind than lose a minute of your time? When all you ever see is our second guesses anyway. Ain't it funny how you always get your way and never face the pain? Seems like a chore when you can turn your head or turn the page.
My dog is a plumber. He must be a boy. Although I must tell you, his favorite toy is a little play stove with pans and with pots, which he really must like because he plays with it lots. So perhaps he's a girl, which kind of makes sense, since he can't throw a ball and he can't climb a fence. But neither can Dad, and I know he's a man. And Mom is a woman, and she drives a van. Maybe the problem is in trying to tell just what someone is by what he does well.
More fun than flushing the toilet while your spouse is in the shower.
Oh, sorry.
Schnauzer Logic.
Welcome back. We are 43 minutes into this episode of Schnauzer Lodge of the podcast. Robin Goldstein, straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy, trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman, patent attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning. www.schnauzerlogic.com is the website. Robin at schnauzerlogic.com is the email address. Parviz Fatali.
That was very funny. Took me by surprise.
Little Dick Cavett there?
Yeah, Dick Cavett. That's whose voice it was. I was like, I know the voice.
That's Dick Cavett.
That's cool.
That's from an old album, Free to Be You and Me.
Funny.
Strangely appropriate.
Yes, plummy.
All right. So, for those people who have been not tuning in, let's see here. Let's get this all put together here. So for people who have not been tuning in, they may have missed it. You can listen to, let's see, two shows ago. So episode number 9, we played the original interview that we had with Kip Adada back on KSCO Radio, where we pissed Kip off and Kip hung up on us. And so then to bring people up to date, in honor of our 10th podcast episode anniversary, I contacted Kip Adada. He was a little confused, but he agreed to do the interview anyhow. And so a couple of weeks ago, I did an hour interview with him on the phone one morning. And he talked about comedy. We talked about the nature of the business and as it's changed and all of that. Last week, we played the first part, A and B, of that interview. And today, we're going to play the remainder of that. And it's funny because in the first part of the interview, last week's interview, we kind of talk about his history and background and things of that nature. But this week, he kind of gets into dishing some of the dirt. And I think that's going to be really interesting. So what we'll do now is we'll play part one of the part A. I don't know. I'm so confused in how to. I shouldn't be this hard.
How old is Kip?
He said he's 61, I think he said. Okay. Something like that. Yeah. And
That's shit.
He sounds like Robert Blake, doesn't he?
Not to me, doesn't. Right. But anyhow, we're going to play the part 2A, is how I'm referring to it, of the Kip Adada interview right here on Schnauzer Logic, the podcast. We're talking with Kip Adada, legendary stand-up comedian. He's got a website at www.kipadada.com. You know, many people may know you best from two songs, not stand-up as much as, I don't want to say song parody, because they're not really parodies. They're kind of funny songs.
They're funny songs. They're original words with original music. They are not parodies. What they are, you might be talking about. I have 12 songs that get airplay around the world. We won't go through all of them, but you're probably talking about Wet Dream and... Well, maybe Big Cockroach or...
I Saw Daddy Kissing Santa Claus.
I Saw Daddy Kissing
sure,
Santa
absolutely.
Claus. Sure, absolutely. These are that, which of course is a parody, but the only parody I have ever done. So a lot of people, you're right, know me from the music, and that's fine. I don't do the music on stage anymore. I used to travel with backup singers.
Oh,
and
is
all
that right?
But no more. If they want to hear the music, they can go to my CD, website and purchase the CDs. They're right there. But in a live situation, I prefer to be in real time.
How did you make that switch? Because, you know, there are sort of comedians who do stand-up, and then there are folks that do the song thing that come out with the guitar around the neck and they sing the funny songs. That was sort of an interesting transition. Did you have a background as a musician?
Yes, I used to have back in the Midwest a show band.
Oh.
But I want to know how to tap dance. I want to know how to do pratfalls. I want to know how to do spit takes. I want to know how to do everything there is to do to entertain an audience. So, sure, sing a song, absolutely. Do a poem, sure. I don't want to be pigeonholed and say, he's the guy with that does this or that. No, I'm the guy who's funny.
So you're an entertainer who's funny.
That's it.
You know, the kids would say that's old school, you know, with a K instead of the CH, you know, kind of the compliment of old school. Do you think that's making a return, that kind of all-around entertainer?
Well, old school
please don't hang up on me.
Old school is much more difficult to do because it requires laughter from the audience. I've seen New Age comics, many, many of them. And the one thing that's missing is laughter in the room. And I have a lot of these young Turks who think this is a sporting event and they want to compete with me.
Right. Extreme comedy.
Right. So I say, okay, listen, that's great. Tomorrow night you follow me. And I'll go on before them. And I say, here you go. Now, how do you like that? Come on. It's not a sporting event. This is an art form. Your job is to welcome them to the show. And then the middle act's job is to get them laughing a little bit. And my job is to close the show. Now, if you don't know those rules or that theater protocol, then we got a problem. And sometimes you have to get tough with these people. I never ask a question in my shows. I don't ask questions. Hi, where are you from? Do anybody here watch TV? Anybody here go to college? Trying to get context. Anybody here breathe air? I know I breathe air. How about you? Do you breathe air? All those stupid questions that these new age people are doing. It's not. The comedy hasn't changed. You're either funny or you're not. It's as simple as that. There's no new style of comedy.
Well, let me pick up on that point. Last year, Albert Brooks made a film called Looking for Comedy in the Muslim World. You may have heard about it. I don't know whether you saw it or not.
I didn't see it, but I love him. I'm glad you brought his name up. Go ahead.
Okay. The premise of the film is that, you know, people laugh at different things in different cultures.
Yeah.
Do you think that's true?
Well, yeah. I think in some cultures, there's a lot of more pratfalls, physical humor, and English humor seems to be quite ribald, quite naughty.
From the dance hall tradition, I guess.
Yes,
yeah.
And so on and so forth. But he's right. There is people laugh at different things. I didn't see the movie. I don't know what tack he took in it. But Albert Brooks, his father's name was Parker. His father's professional name was Parker Carcass.
Is that right?
Yeah, he was a stand-up comedian for the Forrest Belt comic.
I had no idea.
Parker Carcass.
His real name is Einstein, isn't that right?
Right, and his brother's Bob Einstein.
That's right.
So, I mean, it's a very talented family. These are real humorists. These are real humorists. And what is Super Dave? Does anybody call Super Dave old school? He has cars falling on top of him. He's run over by tractors. Does that sound like anything new? But when I get up there and I talk to people as equals and I have fun with people, me and people like me, get this old school thing. And what is that? What that really is a castration.
Do you think so? I certainly didn't mean it as an insult when I said...
I know, but you were referring to the term and not... You weren't really calling me old school. You were talking about the phrase old school.
Right.
And it's a castration move.
You think it's a way to take the power away from the performer?
Exactly. Oh, sure, he gets laughed. So he uses all that old school stuff. You know, it's very easy to say about someone. And it diminishes them. And, you know, boy, what a pretty face if she'd only lose weight.
Left-handed compliments, as they say.
Right. Yeah.
Now, before we're talking just a little bit about comedians, and you'd mentioned both Steve Martin and Dennis Miller, but I'm not sure that we would consider them to be current comedians. Obviously, they're both funny guys who are still performing, but they're not in the current generation of folks, you know, the Dane Cook kind of comedians.
Well, look, the way I look at it is this. If it's a female comedian and she talks about being a female, that's, to me, a waste of time. If she's a lesbian comedian, she talks about being a lesbian, to me, that's a waste of time. If it's a black man, he talks about being a black man, that's a waste of time. In other words, I would compare any black comedian or people that say they're black, they mention it, it's part of their act.
Right.
It's the basis of them being there. Hi, I'm black. Really? Okay, great. Now, Richard Pryor didn't do that. Didn't have to. He had talent. Bill Cosby doesn't do it. He didn't have to. He's got talent. Besides, do you ever drive a car? Do you go shopping? Do you pay taxes? Do you do anything else in your life besides be a lesbian or be black or be white or be what? Is there any other part of your life you can share with us besides that one narrow cast?
So do you go to comedy clubs anymore, or just kind of not a very useful exercise, not a very entertaining exercise?
I'm down
in the L.A. area, so...
If I happen to see a comedian, and who's the little Jewish girl that's been around for a while now? She does one-liners. I can't think of... She's so funny, she breaks me up.
You're not thinking of Sarah Silverman.
Sarah Silverman is very funny, but very naughty.
Yes, she is.
But she's so naughty that I have to laugh at her.
It wraps around the other side.
It really does. I know Sarah. I like Sarah. No, it's not Sarah Silverman. This is a tiny little girl with short hair, skinny little, slight little thing. I know. Oh, darn it. Anyway, when I see somebody that makes me laugh, I am delighted. Because I can say to myself, oh, you're not jaded. Oh, you're not bitter. Oh, you can enjoy someone else's work. Because sometimes you get tired of being negative. Ah, that's shit. It's shit. It's shit. It's shit. And you, after a while, you begin to question yourself, well, maybe I'm just not open enough to these. No, it's not that at all. Because I can laugh. I'm a big laugher. I love humor. And I have no problem with my ego watching someone else get big laughs. I want them to. And,
so something's changed, right? I mean, something clearly in the society when it comes to comedy, something's changed from the period in the 70s where you guys were performing and what's going on today.
But what's changed is television has segmented us. Okay, now we're going to have tonight, the women of comedy. Tonight, the men of comedy. Tonight, the black men of comedy. And, you know, they've got this whole segmented that I want to hear tonight, the funny people of comedy.
Well, you know, there is a tour right now. Is it Patton Oswalt and Brian Posehn? They're doing a tour called The Comedians of Comedy.
Great idea.
Which, if nothing else, is a great title.
Right. I was sitting at the lunch one day, and a fellow stopped at the table to say hello, and then he sat down. And he said, well, I'm a comedian. And, you know, and I'm thinking, well, no, you're not. I'm a comedian. Anyway, anyone that's 29 is still living with their mom as a comedian.
Let me take you back to just another moment here, if I may. And once again, we're talking with Kip Adada, a legendary stand-up comedian who's really... I'm appreciative that you took the time to be with us today, because I'm learning a lot of stuff, making a lot of notes. www.kipadada.com. By the way, that link is going to be on the blog page, so folks will be able to go there, click on the link directly instead of having to type it in themselves, get to Kip's webpage, an amazing amount of stuff, more material than we could cover if he and I had 5 hours to talk today. Plus, you have links. You can buy all of his CDs directly on the website, www.kipadada.com. Another comedy film last year was this documentary, this little small film called The Aristocrats that was made by Paul Prevent. Okay, there you go.
Do you know the joke behind that?
No, please tell me.
Oh, Jesus. It's a joke that's older than my grandfather, and it's about an agent who is trying to sell this act, and it's a group of singers, and you got to see this act. They're the greatest act in the world. You'll never see anything like it. It's totally different. So the buyer goes to the show with the agent, and here comes this act, and they start singing a song, and one of the guy whips out his schlong, and another guy spits on the audience, and another guy whips his schlong out and pisses in the tuba, and the other guy puts his finger down his throat and throws up on the audience. And he says, Jesus Christ, I've never seen anything like this. What are their names? The Aristocrats.
So that's been around for a while, you're saying.
Oh, Jesus.
When was the first time you heard that joke?
Well, 40 years ago.
Yeah. And was it kind of a secret joke among comedians?
Well, when I heard it, I'd never... I wasn't a comedian 40 years ago, but
okay.
when I heard it, I had never heard it before. There are plenty of old jokes that I've never heard, and they're wonderful. They're wonderful poetry, and you know the purest art form is comedy because you're going for a particular specific reaction. You can do an oil painting, and you can always lean on the the hook of, well, what does it say to you?
Well, the abstract painting works. You're saying abstract comedy, not so much.
Well, you've got to communicate, and the whole premise of this is that after you communicate the thought, after you put the image in their minds, that they find it funny. And it's the only art form that does that. It's the only art form that requires one reaction, and that is laughter.
And that's part A.
Part A of part two or something.
Section A of part... This is part of the problem of being a lawyer. Is I'm always like talking about sections and paragraphs. And he's an interesting dude.
Very interesting. And he sounds like a guy that's thrilled to be interviewed. He's got a lot of energy.
Got a lot to say.
Lot to say. He's like, oh, good. Somebody's talking to me about comedy, because he has a lot to say. And everything he said makes sense.
You know, I don't agree with all of it.
Well, you know, it's funny. We learned, you and I learned about don't ask questions, because that kind of builds a wall.
Hack stuff, right.
Yeah, which he said the same thing.
A lot of his stuff makes sense. I think about doing stand-up again.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize if I go on stage and I don't open my act with some material about being transgender,
mm-hmm.
then the audience is going to be like...
They're waiting for that.
Right.
If I don't open my act about losing my hair or being fat, they're waiting for that because you're...
You got to acknowledge the 500-pound gorilla in the room.
Right.
And then get on to the next thing. So I think I take a little exception with some of what he said. Although you heard me, I'm so afraid that he was going to hang up on me again.
That
was
hilarious.
I'm agreeing with him in things that I don't really agree with because I thought, oh, it went so badly last time. It's like, you're right.
And he didn't even catch you, like, please don't hang up. He kept talking.
It's tough to say.
That was very
so
funny.
I don't know that I agree completely with his premise, but Sean and I talked about this last week. He's a showman. He approaches comedy as being part of a show, and you have a responsibility, and the audience has a responsibility, and second part's really interesting.
Good.
He takes off on Missy Shore, takes off on Bud Friedman.
Oh, cool.
We played a little bit of the preview a couple weeks ago. So
we can't figure out who the girl was that he was talking to, the comedian.
No,
huh?
The little Jewish thing?
Yeah, I don't know.
I have no idea who he's talking about.
I was actually quite surprised he knew who Sarah Silverman was. When you said Sarah Silverman, and he said, oh, I was like, wow, he's kind of hip to what's going on. Because I hear Kip, and I think that he only knows Richard Pryor, Bill Cosby, people of that era.
Yeah.
And then when you
bring up... Well, that's the other thing. He talks about how Richard Pryor didn't have to make jokes about being black. But that was really, I mean... The title of his album is That Nigger's Crazy. Yeah. I mean, how much more joking about being black can you be?
Right.
So I think what he meant was he wasn't being hacky about these kinds of things. And I agree with that. It was an interesting interview. And we'll have the rest of it for you later in the show.
Cool.
We'll take a break at this point.
Okay.
Before we do that, by the way, I want to say a Zissen Pesach to all of our Jewish listeners.
Good.
Tonight is the first night of Passover, when the... which celebrates the exodus of the Jews from bondage under the Pharaoh in Egypt, so that they were able to move out to Long Island and open video rental stores. No idea. I don't think that's even right. Is that
falafels?
Right? No, that's not my people. That's your people.
That's right.
Hey, well, tell me, what's the deal with your people and this atomic bomb?
Huh?
Did your people now have a nuclear reactor?
Oh, yeah. In Iran?
Yes, in Iran. Isn't that where your family's from?
I got the email, yeah. I was asked not to speak about it. You didn't get the forward, huh, that email?
No, you didn't send that to me?
No, I just get
email from Ken.
You know what's sad? The leader of Iran, when you see him speaking to the masses.
Yes.
I mean, this is sad, but he looks like my uncles. He looks like, I'm like, oh my God, he looks just like us.
Yeah.
Yes, my father's from Tehran, Iran, yeah.
Okay, the capital.
Yeah. So
you may be related to the leader of Iran.
I could be. But you know what's interesting is if
you
look at
listening to the podcast. Why don't you say something to him? Tell him to just cool it.
Salam halishatori, balekube. That's all I got.
Okay. And what language is that?
That was Farsi.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
You made it seem like it was Spanish or something. Does your audience know that I speak Spanish fluently?
No.
Okay, now they do. I speak Spanish fluently.
No, you just spoke Farsi, though.
I did. But my father's Persian. My mom is Spanish. But my father, God bless him, worked so hard.
Es muy bueno.
Yeah, muy bueno. Mi mamá quedó en la casa para enseñar a mi hermano y yo español.
Qué lástima.
Qué lástima. This is for Kenny. Por ejemplo. He likes saying that a lot. Por ejemplo.
All right.
All right.
We'll take a break. We're going to play a little big band tunage here from Joe Turley out of Nashville, Tennessee. How's that? All right?
All right.
And then we'll come back and we'll do some more stuff. We've got some more things to talk about. And later on the show, we'll have the rest of the end of the interview with Kip Adana.
Cool.
You're listening to Schnauzer Logic, the podcast. Robin Goldstein, Parviz Vitali. Please stick around.
Gay boy.
Schnauzer Logic.
Like I do, 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 like I do. Nobody loves you like I do, like I do. Nobody needs you like I do. Nobody wants you like I do, like I do. Nobody loves you like I do. You could go off searching all around the world, but you could never find a love like mine. From Tokyo to Tupelo, east, west, high and low, I'm your biggest fan. Give me a chance, let me prove I am. Nobody loves you like I do, like I do.
Welcome back. 6 minutes into the second hour of this episode of Schnauzer Logic, the podcast, being recorded on Wednesday, the 12th of April, 2006. My name is Robin Goldstein. I'm your host, buddy, and pal. I'm also a straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman, patent attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning. www.schnauzerlogic.com. That's the website. SchnauzerLogic.com, Robin@SchnauzerLogic.com. That's the email address. MySpace.com/SchnauzerLogic. And we're getting a lot of email. We got a couple more folks this week who have asked us to join their MySpace account, so that's pretty cool. You have a MySpace account there?
I do not.
Not yet? You think about doing that?
For the band, yes.
That's apparently a good way to get...
I don't understand all the hoopla, though. Or
hoopla?
I don't know. I'm not computer savvy at all. So I don't understand all the hoopla about all these kids getting molested and stuff on MySpace.
You agree with Kip Adad on this?
What did he say?
Ah, that's shit. It's shit.
I do.
You agree with him on that? Yeah,
I do, yeah.
He's right on point there.
He seems bitter right there.
You know what he did right after that? Didn't hang around. He gets in, he's like a superhero. He's like a comedy superhero. He gets in, he gets out, he's fast.
When I heard the original interview with Kip Adad a couple podcasts ago, it almost sounded like it was an accident of the hanging up.
But no, then, there's no accident.
Okay, but it almost sounded then when you said your producer called him back and he was pissed. I said,
yeah,
okay.
No, no accident. Yeah. So, you know, we had a really interesting thing happen this week. I'm going to move on to another topic here that I just wanted to mention to you. Sean and I have a friend, somebody that we know from our days at KSCO, Jason Nathanson. He's one of these guys that's steeped in radio. He's a young guy, he's in his 20s, but I think he was sort of born with radio in his blood. Not television, you know, not music. He's a radio guy, and we met him at KSCO. You might have met him. I'm not sure if you did or not. But we met him at KSCO. He cared about production value and the sound and, you know, bits. And he just cared about all of this stuff. And Jason and a couple other guys, John Service, who's now a producer for Pete Wilson on KGO in San Francisco, and another friend of theirs, these guys had done a show called The Random Show. And it was on, I don't know, once a week on KSCO in the afternoon. And they basically got thrown off the air because they were pissing off the old people, you know, in the audience. And I respected them for that. And they respected me, I think, for being kind of a hip old dude who cared about radio. I didn't go in there and go, I don't understand the way the president, you know, I would go in and I would do bits and sounds and stuff, and they're like, oh, well, you're a freak, but you're cool. So that was great. I like that kind of respect. So we became friends along the way, and Jason and I have stayed in touch. And Jason has helped with some of the audio for this show. You can hear his voice throughout the various parts of this show. His audio is all over the place. And I contacted Jason a couple of weeks ago about doing something for us, and he said, well, I'm not at KFI, big, big, big talk station in Los Angeles. He was a producer for their nighttime show. He said, I'm not at KFI anymore. I go, what's happening? He goes, I bought a van, and I'm going to go travel across America looking for the meaning of life. And so I was like, well, you're kidding me. First of all, you're like 25 years out of date. And he goes, no, this is what I'm going to do. And he decided that he needs to go and have an adventure and explore. Hmm. And so Jason, I think on May the 1st, so just a couple of weeks from now, is going to take off in this van, and he's going to spend 4 or 5 or 6 months driving around the country, kind of looking for the meaning of life in the world in this VW van. Huh. And so I said to him, well, you got to sort of write something. He goes, I'm willing to do a segment. So we're going to have him on every week. We'll do sort of where in the United States is Jason Nathanson. So we'll be having regular reports from Jason.
Oh, cool.
So this is something I'm really looking forward to. And I think next week he's going to be on the show. I think it's next week or the week after. We'll sort of, before he takes off, we'll kind of get into his, you know, what's going on here.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. But this is, so that's going to be a cool kind of thing because he's an interesting guy, funny guy, good writer, good radio guy. So we're going to have a good time with that.
How many weeks is he going to be out?
He says he'll be out for 4, 5, 6 months. I mean, I don't think he has any plan at this point. So,
wow.
And I asked him whether he was going to bring a gun, you know, some kind of weapon. And he said...
just condoms.
Well, do you think I should? Well, that's the other thing I asked him. He said, do you think I should? I go, well, you know, you're going to be getting off the interstate. I mean, it's not like you're only going to be traveling, you know, the main highways. You're going to be on the byways, uh-huh. Right? Not just the highways, but also the byways. And so... He said, well, I'm afraid if I bring a gun with me and I get depressed on the trip, then I'll, you know, basically. Geez. Yeah, exactly. So I said, well, how about a bow and arrow? Because, you know, you look menacing. If you walk around with a bow and arrow, you look menacing. Unless you're wearing green tights and that little hat with the feather in it. Then not so menacing. Oh, people probably, but I thought, it'd be very hard to take your own life with a bow and arrow. Right? Very, very hard to
very
do.
Very difficult.
Yeah. So I'm thinking that may be the perfect kind of weapon for people who are depressed and yet still want to defend themselves is a bow and arrow. This came to me.
Right, right.
So he's thinking about that. He's not sure yet. He's thinking about that. There's a joke in there. But
well, all I can think about, he's driving across country in a van. He's like the perfect guy to kill a bunch of people, toss their bodies over the river, and just keep driving. You know? He's 25. He needs to get some aggression out. He's either going to murder somebody or choke a bunch of people just to the point of dying.
He's got a big following. So, but, okay, just stop this. Okay, but that's not... I got away from myself there. Sorry, Kip.
Oh, that's shit. Shit.
But I got away from myself. So he's going to do a blog. That's the thing you do, right? You go on the road, you take a bunch of photographs, and you do, you know, write mm-hmm. stuff down. You do a blog. So I said, great, where are you going to do it? He goes, well, I want to do it over at Blogspot, which is this big blogging service, I think, that Google now has some ownership of. But randomshow.blogspot.com is not available. Somebody already has Random Show. So instead, it's got to be like Random Show Radio or something like that, because he likes his Random Show name. His email address is Random Show. You know, he's sort of like, I have Schnauzer Logic. He's got Random Show.
Okay.
So, and randomshow.com has already been taken. And so he was all bummed out about this. And so he was looking at some other places. We blog over at T-Blog. He was going to look at some places, but he really liked what he was doing over at Blogger on Blogspot. So I thought to myself, I'm going to see if I can help him out here. So I went over to randomshow.blogspot.com, and it's blank. There's nothing there. Mm. It looks like nobody's touched it for about a year. And there's no information. There's no contact information or anything like that at all. But if I click on the learn more about this person, I get a listing of bloggers in Sweden. So I think to myself, the person who signed up for this site must have said that they have an address in Sweden, and they're trying to give me other Swedish bloggers.
Okay.
So I then go and do a Google search for Random Show and Sweden, and I find that there's a fellow whose name is Anders Clearwall, and he is in Sweden, and he's a fellow that graduated, I don't know, college a few years ago, and he has a website called randomshow.com.
Wow.
So I send him an email thinking maybe it's the right guy. And he's a video blogger. So whereas people sort of write things on or uh-huh. we do podcasts, he does video blogging. Mm-hmm. So if you go to www.randomshow.com, you can see these little 3 and 4 minute videos that he takes of his life. So he's one of, I guess they call them V-blogs. I don't know much about this. This is kind of new to me, but he does these little V-blogs. So I send him an email and I say, you don't know me, and you know, and this is a bizarre request, but I've got a friend, and he did a radio program called The Random Show, and he's looking for a blog space, and I noticed this space, and nobody's used it. It looks like it's basically abandoned property, and I'm wondering, if that's your space, would you be willing to transfer it to him? And I figured, well, what the hell, you know? And I said, I don't even know how I managed to find you, but I drive a Swedish car. You know, I'm looking for something. You know, I like herring. Anything to make that kind of human connection there. And the next day I got an email, and he wrote to me, basically said, I'm constantly amazed at how people are able to use the internet for detective work. I'm happy to transfer it over. Here's the password. Here's the information. Just change all that stuff. I gave it to Jason. And so now randomshow.blogspot.com is Jason's site.
Oh, nice.
And he gives, you know, props over to Anders. And we want to say thanks to Anders as well. I'd love to have him on this show, but I think the time difference makes it kind of difficult because we're talking about, I think it's probably 7 hours or 8 hours away, right? So we're talking about 8 and 6 is 9, 10, 11, 12. So like 1,400 hours. So it's like 2 in the morning, right? Yeah. So that would be, I think it makes it harder to do that. So, but anyhow, I want to thank Anders on this podcast and invite people to go over, check out his website.
Cool.
Some interesting little videos. One that I looked at was about 2 minutes long. Apparently he's supposed to meet a girl for a date. And she doesn't show up, and I don't know whether he does this on a little camera phone or whatever it is, but you sort of see him in the bar drinking, you know, shooting himself kind of things, not with a bow and arrow kind of thing, but you got a call?
Sorry.
You want to take that?
It's Ken.
Is it Ken?
It's Ken.
Well, put it up to the phone there. You got a speakerphone on that thing there?
No.
No? All right. Well, don't let us disturb you.
Hello? Hello, Ken?
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 Ken, I'm in the middle of a podcast right now.
He's in the middle of a podcast right now?
No, I don't. All right. All right, Ken. See ya.
You were going to say you loved him.
I was.
You were going to say you loved him.
I was.
Fag. You fag. You disgust me. We're talking about Anders here, and you just disgust
me. I'm sorry about that. Go ahead.
No,
go
you're
ahead.
Not.
No.
Jan did that to us, too. And you know how many listeners are turned off?
How often have I ever brought my phone in?
I think the T is silent. I don't know. How often do you turn your phone off?
I've never brought my phone in.
All right. So now that you have a shaved head and a little beard, you figure like...
No, I brought it in for his number.
Okay. All right. Anyhow, so randomshow.blogspot.com or www.
But you were saying that he had a camera phone.
Yeah, so
at
some kind of camera. And so it's wonderful little 3 minute video, very raw, you know, nothing kind of produced about the whole thing. And it really entertaining. It was worth worth of you. So that's all I was saying. I don't want to talk to you anymore.
Kenny ruined it all.
You bummed me out here.
Oh, come on.
All right. Let's see. What else we want to get into today? I want to play some more of the... we talked to you about your job.
Mm-hmm.
So tomorrow? Do people know that you're doing this podcast? You think these guys got computers?
I don't think they even know how to spell their name.
No.
Yeah, there's
no.
There's a few dummies on there that
really?
I've met so far. Yeah, I haven't
else just start like you? I mean, it's like,
yeah, somebody started Monday. I started the Monday before.
Any women?
As a matter of fact, yes.
Yes?
Yeah, a woman just started Monday, and she did.
Okay.
She doesn't look like a woman.
Any transgender folks?
No.
You sure?
No, I'm not sure.
Okay.
I just met all these people, and I haven't really befriended anybody.
You guys go out for a beer after work?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
They have to decide whether they like you or not.
I don't even take breaks with these people.
No?
Not yet.
What do you do during the breaks?
I go to my car, and I eat.
No, you don't.
I do.
Maybe you should go and have a break with these guys.
I don't
Maybe
know.
They think that you're kind of standoffish.
I'm a little bit, yeah, they think probably a little bit arrogant.
Maybe they're, well, I feel that way, and I know you. You have some kind of breathing problem?
No. You think I'm standoffish and arrogant?
Well, if you just started a new job, don't you want to kind of be liked by people?
No, you know what pisses me off, though? I just started this new job.
Yes?
Robin, I was standing, my very first break, I stood there for 15 minutes, surrounded by 8 different guys. Not a single one of them wanted to come up to me and say hi or introduce themselves. So I'm like, screw you guys.
Oh, that's healthy.
Yeah. I'm like, screw you. The first day, I was like, you know what? Screw you all.
Yeah,
you know?
But they don't know you.
Okay, but hey, come on, Robin. If a stranger walked into your house right now, wouldn't you say, hey, you know, what's up?
Get the hell out, I think I'd say.
Okay, but if you
said, where's my bow and arrow? That's what I would say.
If somebody new came into your job,
my bow and
wouldn't you say,
cocked.
Nice to meet you, hey, good luck, whatever. Nothing. Not a single thing came out of these
cocked.
Knuckleheads. 2-3 days later, I realized, okay, all right, whatever. And then they started one by one coming around.
Maybe you need to pay them respect.
What do you mean pay them respect? What are you talking about?
It's a great attitude.
What are you talking about? Pay them respect.
This is a great
attitude.
Have
they come to my house and fix my plumbing?
On the day of my daughter's wedding, they come to my house to fix the plumbing. And you ask me to do you a favor. You ask me not to flush.
I met him.
Did you?
At the ball game.
No. San Francisco?
Yeah.
Not the San Jose Giants, the San Francisco Giants?
Yeah, San Francisco. Last Thursday was open.
You met him last Thursday?
Last Thursday. There's a photograph on the website. You told me you looked at the pictures.
I did, but who did you meet?
Francis Ford Coppola.
Oh, Francis Ford Coppola. Well, yeah, back of his head.
Who do you think I'm talking about?
I thought you were talking
Marlon
about...
Marlon Brando?
Yeah. I know. That's why I thought you might have met him years ago. Then when you said Thursday, I said, okay. Now you're just yanking my chain. But I saw the back of his head, Francis Ford Coppola. Did you see the people in the background? Or I guess the foreground of Francis Ford Coppola? No idea he was there. He had his little baseball hat.
He wasn't wearing a baseball hat. He's wearing a beret.
Oh, jeez.
Unless he plays for the French team. I think he wears a baseball cap. So I went to the game. I went to opening day.
Yeah.
On Friday. And you can see the pictures. If you click on the photograph of Barry Bonds waving his hat in the air on the blog, you can see the photograph. And I pointed out to you, as I did in the blog, I love the fact that all of the Braves players have their arms crossed and they all look pissed off as hell. And he got a standing ovation. And I think he got a standing ovation because when they were down in San Diego, he got booed tremendously. They had lots of signs, and somebody threw a syringe onto the field. And I think in San Francisco, people feel like he's our guy. You can't fuck with him. I mean, maybe we can fuck with him, but you can't fuck with him.
Right.
And so it's that kind of thing, right? Which is like we take care of problems inside. You know, we handle it ourselves, not everybody else. So in terms of the face that was presented to the world, huge standing ovation. Every time he got up at bat, big standing ovation. I stood, and I'm pissed off at what he did, and I stood for him anyhow.
Yeah.
Just because I couldn't see, everybody was standing in front of me. I was in the 38th row. What the hell do you expect? But during the game, they showed Francis Ford Coppola, the famous director, everybody knows who he is, up on the big board and, you know, wandering around and whatever it was. And that was kind of cool. Obviously, he wasn't sitting next to me. I had good seats, but he wasn't, you know, he was sitting in a box behind home plate. And as I'm walking out of the stadium, I look in front of me, and standing right in front of me is Francis Ford Coppola with his wife. And they're all looking, and he's turning around, and he's talking, and people are being very nice to him. You know, they're being very respectful, and they're talking to him, and they're kind of engaging him in conversation. I'm sure this happens wherever he goes, because he's a, you know, like Robin Williams, Francis Ford Coppola. These are San Francisco famous people, right? And so he's seen him around town all the time. And I didn't have my camera in my hand. It was already back in my pack. So I thought, I want to take a photograph of him. But of course, by the time I got the camera out and turned on, he was facing forward. And I didn't have the heart to bother him. You know, I just thought to myself, this guy here, he wants to enjoy a baseball game. And it just felt wrong to me to tap him on the shoulder or, make some comment or something. Just to get him to turn around, I thought, he's a celebrity. You know, he's clearly a famous guy. He's a celebrity.
Yeah.
But I thought, nah. So I took a couple of shots, and I thought, well, maybe I'll try to get in front of him, and then when he comes by, I can get a better picture. And he ducked me. He strong-armed me, and when I woke up, he was gone. So,
what would you have asked him if you could have asked him something?
In the third Star Wars. No, he didn't direct that.
You do look like George Lucas.
I wouldn't have asked him anything. Well, I would have asked him if he remembered meeting me 20 years ago at Sony. I met him 20 years ago.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, yeah. But I mean,
I probably would have asked him if he really thinks Nicolas Cage is talented.
Oh, see, that's why I didn't want to bother him. What kind of crap is that?
What do you mean, what kind of crap is that?
That's his nephew.
I understand. That's why I asked him that question.
He's out for a game today with his wife to watch baseball, and you're going to insult his family?
I'm just asking.
Well,
seriously.
That's a pretty insulting question, because you wouldn't ask that question to somebody that you did think was talented.
You're right.
You already knew what the answer was that you wanted.
You're right.
Fangu.
I would have asked him if he really saw National Treasure.
That's a Nicolas Cage film, is what
that
you're
is.
Saying?
Yo, you saw that National Treasure.
Yeah.
It was a hit.
Yeah.
About the lemons and the dollar bills.
All right, so here's what's going to be next week's question of the week. Because we didn't have a question of the week this week. Because it took me forever. It's a long stuff. And there's a lot of stuff going on in my world. So next week's question of the world will be...
Question of the week.
Next week, question of the... No, this is bigger than that. This is big, my friend. This is a question of the world.
Question of the world.
Yes. In our solar system. No. Question of the week is, what encounter have you had with a famous person?
Oh, I've encountered many famous
people. So that's it. So I wanna have people share with us their famous people.
That's a great idea.
Right, their famous person encounters. So you can send us an email or you can write it up on the blog and tell us about an encounter that you've had with a famous person. And in fact, if you've had an encounter with a famous person and you want to talk about it, maybe we can send us an email, maybe we can call you and we can kind of get the whole thing and get it recorded for you. That would be terrific.
Yeah.
I have a couple. I have two.
Francis Ford.
Well, no. I mean real ones, like when I was... I'll tell this. This is a good one.
Okay.
This is probably my favorite of all of them.
Cool.
When I was 17, I was a toll taker on the New York State Thruway. And I worked at exit number 16, which was the gateway to the Catskill Mountains in upstate New York. And I used to work on the weekends because, you start off as a shit position. So you're working the nights on the weekends when people are coming back from the Catskill Mountains, going back to New York City. And one Sunday night, somebody pulls up. The toll was a quarter. And some guy gives me a 50-cent piece. But there's no room in the register for 50 cent piece. I'm pissed off.
Uh-huh.
And I decided that if anybody famous ever came through, I'd be really cool. And I look up, it's Art Garfunkel.
Oh, wow.
Of Simon and Garfunkel. And I look at him and I recognize him immediately. And I go like, you're completely lost my cool, my composure.
Oh, wow.
Bakes out in a big smile, kind of, shh. And I look in the back seat and there's a little kid sleeping in the back seat. Apparently he was a molester. I had no idea. No one's ever, nothing.
No, you know what I'm going to tell you right now? You know what I'm going to tell you right now?
Nothing.
The kid was sleeping because he smoked too much pot.
Okay.
Huh?
Bad.
Art Garfunkel?
Yes.
Was busted for smoking pot twice already.
Okay.
All right. So anyways, so you meet Art and you're like, ooh, 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 Art.
And I couldn't remember his name and I just kept saying, you're, until he sped away. And then the moment he sped away, of course, then I screamed out, Art Garfunkel!
Oh, that's cool.
You're Art Garfunkel! So that was one of my brushes with greatness. So you have some?
Oh, yes, I do.
So you'll share them with us
Absolutely.
Next week?
Absolutely.
That'll be the question of the week. Share a brush with greatness.
Oh, that's great.
All right, here's what we're going to do. We'll take a break, play a little more tunage, come back, maybe play more of the Kibidata stuff.
Yes.
And get into more things, all right?
Okay.
All right, good. You're listening to Schnauzer Logic. It's so good to have you back.
Oh, thank you, Rob. It's so good to be back.
Stop.
So sorry I missed the episodes last week.
But you can catch them on the website.
I know, but I wanted to be here for the Big 10. I'll be here for the Big 20.
You know that we've done more weeks of this show than we did of the AirPlay show on KSCO? We did more episodes because that was Monday through Friday, but I realized that show didn't last for longer.
Which I'm surprised. It seemed like it did, but...
Well, we were having some problems with terms of getting paid the way we were supposed to get paid.
Oh.
And also 9/11 came around. And that show never would have made it past 9/11.
Oh.
Because we were just, you know, our politics was a little different than the station's politics.
Got it.
All right. Break?
Okay.
All right, good. And then back on the other side, stick around.
That's the trouble around here. Talk, talk, talk. Oh, sometimes I think I must go mad.
We'll be back with more Schnauzer Logic.
Thank you.
universe from the top of the Empire State Building.
Actually, it's a second bedroom with some bath mats taped to the wall.
And broadcasting loud to all time zones around the world in stereo.
It's a medium bitrate podcast. Oh, and it's mono.
This is
Schnauzer Logic!
Welcome back. 33 minutes into this episode of Schnauzer Logic, the podcast. That was a little harsh transition between those two songs, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I'm sorry about that. Also, I didn't know that that was just going to be an instrumental tune.
Yeah, I didn't know either, but
it was cool tune. Yeah,
it was good.
All right, here we go. Trivia for you.
Yeah.
In a normal lifetime, the average person will eat 200 pounds of what?
Wait, does this sound familiar to me?
I don't know.
In a normal lifetime, the average person will eat
200 pounds of what?
Milk.
200 pounds of milk? Wouldn't
cheese.
That be measured in gallons?
Cheese.
It's peanuts.
Okay.
Searchlight, Deacon, Rawhide, Eagle, and Trailblazer are all code names for what?
Submarines.
No, they're presidents of the United States. Nixon was Searchlight, Carter was Deacon, Reagan was Rawhide, Clinton was Eagle, and George W. Bush is Trailblazer.
Wow.
What famous structure has 2.5 million rivets?
The Empire State Building.
The Eiffel Tower. But they both have three words, so that's good. In 1976, about 25,000 Americans finished one of these. In 2002, that number was 450,000.
Hot dog.
Only 25,000 Americans finished a hot dog in 76?
Yeah.
You want? Is that your final answer?
My final answer.
You want to call Kenny for your lifeline there? A marathon.
Oh.
And what flavor was the first lifesaver?
Oh, that's easy. Cherry.
Wrong.
What was it, coconut?
You want to know what the flavor was?
Ah, oh, that's shit.
It was brown?
No, it was... What was the first flavor, Kip?
Ah, oh, that's shit.
No, it was peppermint.
Sorry, I missed that. What else you got for me? What else?
That's what I got for you here. Let's see. What else I got for you? We got more bad
news. You know, when we did John I was listening to podcast number nine.
When John DeCova's money?
And you had one of the questions about who was the first guest on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
I thought I knew it. I thought it was Andy Kaufman, but it was George Carlin.
No, I think Kaufman may have been on one of the first shows doing the thing with the record player where he did Mighty Mouse. Yeah.
And then when he said that question, I said, okay, Andy Kaufman. I wrote down the answers. And then when he came around to George Carlin, I said, that's right, it was George Carlin. Kaufman must have been a guest on there.
And Sean guest Buck Henry, who was a comedy writer back in those days. Most famous for writing, do you know? Do you know who he is? Maybe not. Maybe before your time. Because you're in your 30s, right?
Yeah.
So you're a young guy.
I'm a young guy.
You're a young guy. I read an interesting article this week about things called grups. Do you know about grups?
Mm-mm.
These are grown-ups who have decided that they're going to not necessarily grown up. So
they're not going to necessarily grow up?
Yeah, okay. Exactly. So they've decided, well, hell, I can still be successful and wear sneakers, right? I don't have to have, you know, I don't have to go to work in a suit every day.
Okay.
Right? I can be successful. It's adults who decided that they want to become adults without taking on the trappings of adulthood that their parents and grandparents had to take on. I'm clearly like that. And I think people thought of... No, really. Go ahead. Answer.
No, it's
important.
No.
You need to.
I never brought the cell phone in, and now I do. I'm getting a call every second.
Okay.
Okay. So grups are people who don't want to grow up.
So grups are, I guess it's from a Star Trek episode where there were planet where all the adults died, and it was run by the kids, and the grups was short for grown-ups, right?
Okay.
That's where the term comes from. But it was nice to read this article because I realized I'm a grup.
Definitely.
I'm someone who's, I'm 48 years old. Mm-hmm. I'll be 49 this year, and yet... I don't consider myself to be a poser. Like when I listen to, you know, rock and roll,
right,
or if I go to a concert, like I went to see Real Big Fish. I love ska. I got turned on to ska music about 5 or 6 years ago, and went to see Goldfinger and Real Big Fish and MXPX, and I realized, God, I was the oldest person there and the only one without, you know, piercings and tats.
Yeah,
but I didn't go because I was a poser. I went because I really dug the music. I dig, you know, I'm not a skateboarder, but
when my mom and dad were 48, they would have never done half the stuff that
we do.
Yeah.
And so there's something that's changing about this. Now, do you think about this? And you think about, well, one of the things the article mentioned as well is that, you know, when I was a kid, my parents were listening to music that I don't listen to now, right? They were listening to the Glenn Millers, the big bands, the Frank Sinatras and things, right, of that nature, Mario Cuomo. No, that's not right. Dean Martin. I don't think Mario Cuomo ever recorded an album, but they would have listened to him.
Yes.
That's my point. And now, you know, people who are in this kind of category, this age cohort, as the term goes, they listen to the same music as the kids who were in their 20s, right? I dig a lot of that music. Not all, not 100% of it, but there's crossover. That schism between music hasn't developed. Have you found that you have more successful relationship with people who are younger and older than you are?
Younger, I actually don't. I don't get along with the younger people.
Really?
I find older people much more interesting and much more...
Younger, how young?
25.
You don't get along with them.
No, I just... you know what? They're... Okay, there's a couple people that work, for example, I just met this week that are in their early
20s. It's gone really well.
Right? And what?
This new job.
Yeah. Fabulous.
Yeah.
But they listen to hip-hop. They listen to their language, the way they speak. It's truly just... I listen and I look at these people and I go, wow, you know, that's our future. And
well, I mean, is it ghetto, are you saying?
When I was working at Safeway, the employees that we were getting that were 17, 18, 19, 20, 22, 25... Yeah, not, no, okay.
What about those who were 23 and 24?
Those were fine.
Okay.
The ones that skipped those 2 years.
17, 18, 19, 24, 20. Okay.
No, but they
what
don't.
What happened to those people?
I can't believe they work with the public. I can't believe that these people represent this company. I think it's going downhill. So I get nothing from
the
kids.
That's interesting. Really?
I get nothing from the kids.
So there's nothing in that youth culture that you want to take forward with you?
No, absolutely not.
Really?
Yeah. I get more out of older people. I get more out of people that are more intelligent than me, which is pretty much everybody. But I get more out of people that...
More experienced than
you.
I think that's a better way of putting it. Well, they're not necessarily more intelligent.
Well, I'm just saying people with more experience, I feed off of. The people that have no experience behind me, below me, I have nothing to teach them. And they have nothing to teach me. So
see,
it's like...
I that's really interesting. I have a lot of friends who are in their early and mid-20s. Most of them I met through radio because that tends to be a young person's game, right? Especially when you're starting out. And I got back into radio very late in life. I had done it back in my teens and 20s, and then I got out of it for almost 20 years. So when I got back into it, the people that I was meeting were people who were in their 20s, right? Their late teens and early 20s.
Right.
Because I was not at a level where I was going to start off in New York, right? I was starting off in Santa Cruz, California. So I was meeting those people. It's interesting. I take a lot from those folks. Jason, the fact that Jason's going to be leaving on his big trip in a couple weeks. I mean, I think I could technically be Jason's parent.
Yeah.
I don't want to say mom or dad because it's freaky and confusing to everyone. But I could be Jason's parent. I have a number of friends who are young enough for me to be their parent. Right. I could have had them right out of college and had a kid and I would be their parent. And yet, I find their perspective on the world interesting. I learn stuff from them. They have a can-do attitude. They haven't been jaded by the world yet.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have, you know, I'm 48 going on 49. I've been beat down pretty hard multiple times by life and the world and divorce and health and job and, you know, just kind of crap. Now, I think it's the nature of my own kind of buoyant spirit that, you know, a little bit of tub thumping, right? I get knocked down, but I get up again.
Right.
And that's who I am. So I look to these folks for a kind of inspiration. Because when you're in that part of your life, when you're in your early 20s, and I think even into your later 20s, anything is possible. So I'm surprised that you have been kind of turned around by this. Was that, maybe you were an old teenager. Were you sort of an older kind of kid?
I was never hip. I was never into partying. I was never into drugs.
I'm not talking about partying or drugs. I'm just talking about how you look at the world.
Right, which is when you're a teenager, hip was being into partying and drugs, and there was only a certain amount of intelligence that they had. I think I was always looking for something more. I never hang out with people at work. There's nobody that truly, truly interests me.
So who were your inspirations when you were younger?
Jack Tripper, Three's Company. I wanted to live with two women and be a chef. That was it. I just wanted to live with two women and be a chef.
Wow.
Yeah. He was my inspiration.
Okay. You listened to the guidance counselor in high school?
No. Okay. No, Jack Tripper.
Okay.
Yeah, when he died, that was sad. But inspiration, You know what, Robin? You know, we were talking earlier about my job, and you said, well, did I ever, you know, was I dreaming about being a plumber? Was I dreaming about working at Safeway? It seems to me in my life, things just fell to me. Things just happened to me.
I think it's true for a lot of people.
And I never, when I look back at my life, I go, wow, I never really wanted to work at Safeway. I never really wanted to be a plumber. I never really wanted to, things just kind of happened to me. The band, it happened to me, right? I didn't strive to be a musician. When I became a musician, I realized I can do this. I started to take steps forward to see if I can actually maybe make something out of my life being a musician. That's probably the only thing. And actually, comedy, when I started comedy...
not according to Ken.
Not according to Ken or, quite frankly, a lot of other people. But when I was doing comedy and I thought I was doing well, I started thinking, wow, maybe this is my calling. Maybe this is what I'm supposed to do, blah, blah, blah. Comedy really just fell into my lap. I was 30 when I started comedy.
Did your parents, you know, your mom and your dad have, like, plans for you when you're growing up? This is going to be, you know, you're going to be this?
My family was just happy that I was in school, that I stayed in school. I graduated high school. I graduated 2 years of college. And
I wonder if it's
happy.
A cultural kind of thing. Because, I mean, you know, as a Jewish kid growing up in New York, you know, a doctor was really the only acceptable career.
Right.
A lawyer was a very, very far behind second. But okay, you know, we'll hang our head in shame in the high holidays. But, you know, that's fine. And beyond that, there were no other options.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I became an attorney, 23 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Wasn't a math major. 23 years ago. Wow, that is so scary. I remember going into private practice in a firm in New York City and looking around and seeing people who I now realize were younger than I was now, right? I mean, they probably were in their late 30s, early 40s, not in their late... I mean, I knew people in their late 40s as well. But I didn't want to be them. I mean, I was looking for someone to be a role model for me, and RuPaul wasn't around, and I get nothing for that, nothing at all.
You know what I was just thinking, though, when I'm hearing you talk? Were you wearing suit and ties?
Sure, three-piece suit and ties.
Okay.
Three-piece suit and ties, absolutely. That was the time when everybody was wearing, and during the day, you take off your jacket, you walk around with a vest.
Yeah.
We didn't have the pocket watch or any of that crap, but oh, yeah. But I thought to myself... These are not the people that I expect to grow up to be. I mean, not the men or the women, to be honest with you. And these are not the lives that I expect to have. And it's not that I was bohemian, although maybe that's what it turned out to be. But I thought I get to make my own pathway as I kind of go. Now, living here in California, we have a lot more flexibility. I'm not sure that I could have the kind of flexibility. I'm not talking about the gender stuff. I'm just talking about how I live my life in general, that kind of go where you want to go, do what you want to do thing. Mm-hmm. That's a very California kind of ideal. And if I was still living back east, living in Boston, right, where I, you know, I admitted to practice, or New York, maybe that would be different. Maybe I would be going to work every day in a suit and trying to fit in, which is one of the reasons I'm not. I mean, I want to stay out here because this feels like a better fit to me. But I just thought it was interesting, and it was so gratifying to read this article and see page after page of folks who were successful. I mean, these are folks that have kids, and they're successful, and, you know, they either work out of home or whatever it is. But they say the difference is, you know, rather than having 10 suits and one pair of running shoes, they have one suit and 10 pairs of running shoes, and that's how they define who they are. And of course, financially, they're able to do that. I mean, if you don't have that kind of financial freedom, maybe you can't live your life that way.
Yeah.
But it's nice to know that that's a possibility.
Yep.
So who knows? Maybe someday you'll go to work in suit and running shoes.
I don't think I'll ever grow up.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I don't think my nieces and nephew think I'm the biggest goof in the world.
As does my nephew.
Right.
He thinks you're a huge goof.
Right.
No. No.
No, but they don't comprehend that we're in our 30s and 40s.
That's right.
They just see a goof.
That's right.
And when I was growing up...
I see that as a good thing, by the way.
I do. But when I was growing up, I didn't have too many goofy uncles. They seemed real rigid you know what? They might have had a mortgage. That's probably... They probably had so much on their mind, they didn't have time to screw around, you know, and have fun.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if you change.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
All right.
You think I should change You think I should change?
No.
Okay.
I think you should be whatever you want to be.
I just want to be happy. Quite frankly, bottom line, I just want to be happy. Whether it's a plumber, whether it's Safeway, whether it's the band, whether it's the podcast, I just want to be happy.
Well, you know what the Buddhists would say?
What's that?
If you want to be happy, then be happy.
I know, but yeah, I just want to be happy. I just want to be happy. And I want to be healthy. Lately, I've been so obsessed with when I'm going to die. Lately, I've been very obsessed. Is it going to be a car accident, heart attack? I don't know what's going on, but lately I've been thinking about death a lot.
But you have very little control over that.
I know, which I wish I could know when I was going to die. I just wish so I can get some things out of the way.
All right, I'll tell you when. I wasn't supposed to, but let me write
it. You got it. The email.
I'm going to write it down for you, okay?
All right.
No. But I not to get too philosophical on you here.
No, do it.
But I think don't want to be happy. Just be happy. There is nothing.
Which I am. Which I normally am. I rarely have a temper. I rarely get pissed. I mean, you've known me, what, 5 years now?
Something like that.
Okay, I mean, come on. Every time we've hung out, it's been nothing but goofballs and having fun.
Goofballs?
Yeah, goofballs. You find that in the aisle number 4 at Safeway. But that's my point. It's like I strive to not stress. I strive to not be pissed. I strive to, you know, it's you get bombarded every day with traffic, with goofy people on the road.
Absolutely.
That can really piss you off. And some people take it. They just get so enraged and they slam doors. And, you know, some things just don't work out my way. And I just tend to go, well, it doesn't work out my way.
That's the nature of the universe.
Yeah, but some people take it so, they just.
That's the nature of the universe. And if you're waiting for those things to change before you can be happy,
right,
you'll never be happy. So just decide that you're going to be happy.
That's it.
And just be happy.
I guess it's healthy I want to be. I just don't want to die. I don't want to die yet.
Okay.
I don't want to die yet. I'm not sure when I'm going to die, but I don't want to die yet.
Want me to call off the 2 contract killers that are waiting for you as soon as you leave here?
No, but it's funny because when I was working this week at the plumbing place,
yeah,
that's all they stress. Go home with your fingers and toes. Go home with your fingers and toes. Go home with your fingers
that's
and toes.
That's a good thing to stress.
Yeah, but I'm thinking, okay, what kind of a job did I get myself into? Last week, some guy shot a piece of metal in his eye.
Well, because you're working with sheet metal and heavy equipment.
I know. That's
nobody says to a lawyer, go home with your fingers and toes. Well, the lawyer, they go, make sure you have your briefs. Oh, I'm sorry. All right. Well,
very interesting about that. And I do believe that. I do believe the older generation, the people in their 40s and 50s, really aren't acting 40 and 50. At least
well, they are.
I
mean, they're changing the definition of what it means to be
exactly.
40 and 50.
And they're hipper and they're cooler. I mean,
I think they just are who they want to be.
Yep.
That's my whole point. My point is that it was heartening to me.
Yeah.
To realize that I'm not the only one, because you kind of feel like, well, maybe I'm doing this whole thing wrong. And, of course, the answer is there is no wrong way to do this. However
right.
you do it is right.
Right.
Just be happy.
All right.
All right. We'll take a happy break.
All right.
We'll play some happy music.
All right.
When we come back, we'll listen to a really angry old man. Kip Adad. We'll play the rest of the interview. You're listening to Schnauzer Lodge, the podcast. Robin Goldstein and Parvizan Fatali, who are imploring you to please stick around.
That's the trouble around here. Talk, talk, talk. Oh, sometimes I think I must go mad.
We'll be back with more Schnauzer Logic.
The angels came down, did they give you a choice? Will they ever let you stay where you were? Well, not to live here in pain should not bring you shame, and the light is so hard to deter. Well, did the gates of heaven look just as you thought? It's systematically describe them quite well. Years of Catholic school were all good to you, because you were the angel who fell. And I am the one who will never die young. I am a martyr and I cannot hide. I'm not a winner, I am just be bitter. I am sealed by my skin, but broken inside. Angels are fragile, devils are hot. Colors will blend and hearts will all mend. Just tell me you were never afraid. 'Cause I am the one who will never die young. I am a martyr and I cannot hide. Say, read me a book, oh, sing me a song. And I was the one who I felt so, so sorry for, but you are the one who is gone. So will you save me a seat if I make it that far? For the angels have told me that I will never die young. 'Cause I am the one who will never die young. I am a martyr and I cannot hide. But I'm not a winner, I'm just brilliantly bitter. I will be old, for the angels have told me that I will never die young. I'll never die young.
Uninterrupted direct digital feed straight from the pleasure zones of your brain.
All night long.
What the hell is this?
This is Schnauzer Logic.
I woke you up, huh?
Wow, you know what's funny or what's weird is you're absolutely amazing. You are truly amazing. I mean, what was I just talking about?
Yeah.
I'm afraid to die. What was her last lyric? I hope I never die young. I hope I never die young. I'm just amazed. We haven't talked about this, so.
And then we just blew you out of that.
Wow.
That's a sad song.
That was very sad.
That's a sad song. That is Lori McKenna out of Boston.
Oh, my gosh.
Beautiful voice.
Beautiful voice, but Lori, my goodness. Yeah. I hope you're feeling better.
Well, she doesn't want to die young.
Man, it's going to kill her audience, though.
Well, sad song.
It's a sad song.
Yeah. All right.
Nice segue to Kipadada.
All right. We're 57 minutes into the second hour. So what I had said was that you asked me about the running of the time.
Right.
That over at live365.com, they include this show as part of their transfm.org stream. Mm-hmm. But apparently they have half-hour blocks over there. And so if the show runs at 2 hours and 3 minutes, they can't start the next show at 2 hours and 3 minutes. They have to, like, fill the rest of that time. So what Ethan said was, if you're not going to make it till 2, if you're going to go over, then go over by half an hour.
Got it.
And so we're going to fuck them today because it's now 1:58 and we're going to play the Kippadada thing. I think we need to play the Kippadada thing, right?
I think so.
So we got to finish.
This is a long show.
It's a long show. Oh my, so we're going to wind up going long. So we just have to apologize to Ethan here. But that's all right. People, they need more of you. They need to get their fill of Parviz.
Oh, you've really pulled a lot out of me today, Robert.
Speaking of pulling a lot out of you, no, but seriously.
We never spoke about my family before, and I'm just...
We talked about a lot of stuff today.
Yeah.
All right, so what we're going to do at this point is, I think, let's play the last part of the Kippadada interview, all right?
Okay.
And that should probably be plenty for the day.
Yeah.
All right, that'll be good. All right, so we'll play the Kippadada interview. This is the last part of the Kippadada interview. I've already said Kippadada interview 17 times. I'm done saying Kippadada interview. Kip, are you excited about this? What do you think? You've heard this interview. Kip, how do you feel about this?
Ah, that's shit.
All right, here we go. Every time I talk to him, I get something good that I'll be able to use for the next 20 years. Ladies and gentlemen, the last part of the Kippadada interview right here on Schnauzer Logic, the podcast.
There's so much to this. After you know, the 35 years that I've, and I'm still learning, you can never learn it all. But really, I would say that 90% of the people we're seeing right now on our stages should not be there. You know, when I started in this business in 1972, there were 50 comedians in the United States. Here it is in 2005. And we still have 50 comedians and a lot of posers. And yeah. I'm disappointed in the audiences, and I'm sure they're disappointed in us. Comedy clubs are going the way of the stagecoach because people go to comedy clubs expecting to see a funny show, and they go away disappointed. And do they say, well, that particular person isn't funny? No, they think, to the average Joe, comedy's not funny.
Well, but the other thing I think is an issue from my own observations is audiences go to comedy clubs and they start drinking. I don't know if that's always the best place to perform comedy because you really want the audience to be connecting with you, and that's harder to do when people are getting sloshed.
You're exactly correct. But how many times have I heard some ass of an MC say, "Drink up, everybody. The show's funnier that way," which, of course, is not true. I don't mind if a few people have two or three drinks. But when you get a club owner who starts pumping liquor into the room, of course, they'll ruin a show. But they'll sell a lot of liquor. And really, these club owners, these comedy, well, let's be specific. These comedy club owners are not comedy, what do they call a patron of the art?
Yeah, impresarios.
They're liquor salesmen.
Yeah.
That's what they do. And I see these comedians kissing their ass, and, I'll work for him for less because he's my friend. No, he's not your friend. No, he's not. And I see these guys traveling across the country from Los Angeles to Florida to do a gig for $1,000 with no airfare. I mean, $1,000 might sound like a lot of money to someone who works in a factory or whatever, but at $1,000 a week, you're losing money.
So you're saying Bud Friedman is not my friend?
Bud Friedman. Bud Friedman, I don't know what the words I could come up with that would be low enough to describe Bud Friedman. And I speak for a living. I don't know. I can't come up with the... I mean, I'll tell you a story about Bud Friedman. He does pay his comedians a paltry little sum.
Mm-hmm.
And every week, the comedians come by to get their check. The check is in a strong box. The strong box is on the floor under a desk. So you actually have to get down on your knees, crawl under the desk, and open the strong box and take your envelope out. Now, that's... How low can you go? I mean, what kind of a man would... This is what he thinks about comedians. And, no, not a good person.
Okay.
And Mitzi Shore. Mitzi Shore is the devil incarnate. She's raped and pillaged and screwed her way through life. And I happen to be one of the few people that in this business that can brag that he's never slept with Mitzi Shore.
One of the few men, you mean?
Right.
Right, that's my quote.
And I'll say something else.
Okay.
I'll say something else because I have no respect for her, and I don't care who knows it. Her thing is this. She, and I've heard this from several good sources, she likes you to break into the house, literally break into the house. First you go and knock on the door, you beat on the door, and she sticks her head out of the upper window and says, "You can't come in. You can't come in."
It's actually a pretty good Mitzi.
Yeah. And then you have to break the door down or kick the window in. And then you go in and you put her over your knee and you spank the hell out of her. And then you throw her down and do your worst with her. That's what she wants to be, you know, that's the kind of mind we're working with.
That's comedy, my friend.
Yeah. It's a Looney Tune out here. Anyway.
You got a book in you, at least.
No, I don't. I'm not that kind of a writer. You know, I've tried to. I need a friend. I need a friend that can write. I can't.
I kind of put the stories together for you.
I don't have a book in me. I don't know how to do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you got the stories, certainly. And
I have lots of stories.
And the talent. So you need a collaborator, someone who could work with you to
I do.
Craft it together.
I do. And as far as being old school, yes, I am. And give me some old school comedy any day of the week. There's hundreds of wonderful artists out there and historically that have been superb entertainers in comedy. And I take my hat off to them. I learn from them, and some of them are no longer with us. And I think that if you're talented, go for it. If you have a yearning, if you've got a feeling in your stomach, you know, a lot of people think they're funny because they can sit around a booth in a restaurant and make people laugh. But what they're not realizing is the people around them are giving them context. And they can sit and pick targets. They can sit and say nothing until someone says something that they've got some witty thing for, and then they jump in.
Comedy sniper.
Well, comedy sniper.
Yeah.
And they think that's what kind of... No. You've got to go on to a blank stage in front of a room full of strangers and make your own context, build your own reality with no help from anyone. That's what comedy is. That's part of the that's the exercise. So I make it sound very dry because it is, from my point of view, it's a lot of work.
Well, that's the craft of it, certainly.
The fun part of it starts when I go on stage. I don't like to travel. I don't like hotels. I don't screw the waitresses. I don't do drugs anymore. I don't get liquored up anymore. But when I hit that stage, we have a lot of fun.
So you're still writing, you're still performing, you're not traveling, you're performing in the L.A. area?
Once in a while, I'll do something. I flew into Detroit last weekend. They tricked me into it. I didn't even know I was going to be doing a show. They brought me in under another guise, and
okay.
Then all of a sudden they brought me to this restaurant, and over the it's actually a country club. And over the entrance of the country club, it says, "Welcome, Kippadonna." But no, I don't...
You were punked.
Yeah, I don't... No, I don't travel anymore. And there's really no place to work in Los Angeles anymore. It's all, chains and jogging suits.
But you're still writing.
Well, sure. I my mind is working all
yeah,
the time.
Absolutely.
I'm beginning production on the world's first gay war movie. It's called Saving Ryan's Private.
And we'll insert the rim shot later, Kip.
Yeah. So yeah, I can't help but do that. And when something falls on me, an idea, sure, I type it into the computer. But basically, at this point, I'm retired from the traveling.
Good for you.
I'm doing commercials. I'm doing some films. I'm doing all sorts of business things here in L.A., but once you get to getting on a plane, then I have a problem.
We've got to come up to the end of the interview shortly. Kip Adada has been our guest, and he's been so kind to be with us for so long. But before we let you go, I want to sort of move off of comedy just a little bit. Looking on your website, obviously family's really important to you. And can't go through all the members, but Victor seems to be an amazing master woodmaker.
Victor Adada, my first child, started making furniture at the age of 12. And he is now probably the most well-known custom furniture maker in Los Angeles. And he executes all the finest designers.
Beautiful stuff.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'll tell him you said that.
Did you try to keep your kids out of the business? I know you've got a couple of children. Or any of them kind of want to go in the direction of comedy and you have to push them away, or they just had their own thing?
I have three children, and no, I didn't do anything in that regard. But they saw it already. They saw Dad. Comedy almost killed me because I worked very, very hard at it, and they saw that. And I would alternate. I'd take one child and take them on the road with me. I'd come back and I'd grab another one. I'd take them on the road with me, and then do the third one, because I wanted them to get what I really did. I'm not just the guy on the Tonight Show. Here's what really: you got to get on the plane. You got to carry your luggage. You got to check into the hotel. You have to eat crappy food. You have to, you know, all that. I wanted them to know what this was. So they probably thought to themselves, you know what? No, I'm not going to do this. It's too tough.
But I bet they're funny anyhow.
They are funny. They're all funny and very unbridled funny. They have absolutely no morals at all.
You must be very proud.
I am.
Well, listen, I wanted to thank you so very much once again for being so kind and gracious to let me finish the interview that I tried to start 5 years ago. Kip Adada, you know the name. You've heard him expound upon just an amazing amount of things. You can go to his website, buy his CDs, www.kipadada.com. Kip, I wanted to thank you so very much. And I was wondering, for old time's sake, if you could hang up on me just one more time.
Oh, that was good.
There you go.
That was good.
Our interview with Kip Adada. Not bad, huh?
That was very good.
I think he got a kick out of it.
Oh, yeah.
Don't
oh,
you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's hilarious. He totally, he's a good sport.
He's a good sport about the whole thing.
He just pauses like a true comedian. Just lets it go. Click. That was very funny.
So there you go. So that's the interview with Kip Adada. We may make it available to people on the website if they want to download it time goes on. But there you go. So now I've now closed that episode of my life.
Yes, you've completed the circle.
I needed closure. I needed closure. I'm somebody that's very important for me to be liked, I think. You know, I need to feel like I'm not pissing people off as we move through the world.
I don't agree.
I care about that.
Yeah.
Well, I know. Listen. Hey, listen. You got your own shit to deal with.
No. I don't think you piss anybody off. But
talked to my ex-wife.
Well, but you've had a lot of mileage with the Kip Adada hang-up thing for 5 years ago.
I got more now.
I know.
It's shit. All right.
Awesome.
Great show.
Next week is a huge, huge anniversary.
For you?
No, for the world.
What's next week?
On next Tuesday is 100 years ago, San Francisco earthquake.
The 18th?
Yes.
Okay.
It's huge.
All right.
It's the day the world shook.
So to speak.
Yes.
That's a big deal.
Did you know that the earthquake of 1906 was 30 times greater than the Loma Prieta earthquake of 89?
I did not know that.
All right, you know what? Okay.
Doc is here. Doc is not here. Doc is here. Doc is not here. I did not know that.
You know what we should do, Robin, in future podcasts? We should do our best impressions. Right?
I have none.
Yes, you just did one right now. That's Doc Severinsen, right?
Terrible. It's terrible. I'd rather do the whole show like a pirate. I think we should do pirate radio.
See, there you go.
Holy
you can be
God.
A pirate.
The entire podcast will be a pirate cast.
Can I do one impression I have?
Can I stop you?
No. From the 70s and early 80s, this was a very famous commercial for, I think it was a dental commercial.
Okay.
Where it had...
we don't have a lot of time, so don't explain it, just do it.
Right, here we go. But dentists are so expensive. Not at the South Bay Health Center, where your dental exam is only $12. I paid more for a haircut. Huh? That was a classic commercial.
What are you talking about?
That was a classic commercial.
Local spot.
Remember, it had like Alice in Wonderland. She was under a tree holding her mouth.
No, I don't remember.
And she'd hold her mouth and goes, but
we have about 1,000 listeners around the world, and you're telling something that people. Wow.
South Bay Health Center, your dental exam is only $12.
We didn't talk about the surreal life. We'll have to do that next week.
All right. That's good. It continues. So we'll talk about
it. It'll be on next week. All right, I have to talk about it. I would love to get Alexis Arquette on the show.
That would be amazing.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Yeah.
And she and I are transgender. Well, why? What do you mean I probably could? What are you saying?
Hey, you found that guy in Sweden for your friend traveling the world?
Yeah.
You could probably find
Arquette. Alexis Arquette?
Yes.
Well, maybe I'll have to try that.
Go on the website, find a contact, shoot an email, get it back in a couple days. Hey, speaking of that, I know you shot an email to Delta and you got no response. You still have no response?
I called them this week. Still no response.
Okay.
I called the president's office this week.
And?
They said to me, we're 5 weeks behind in answering our mail.
Oh, very convenient.
And I'm thinking, no wonder. Now they're having a problem with pilots going on strike and shit like this. I mean, I'm never going to see my money again, and I'm not even going to spend the time to sue them, I don't think. But anyhow, listen, I want to thank you so very much for being here.
Thank you, Robin.
Hopefully we'll be here next week.
Yeah, I hope
so. My mom is not feeling well. She's had some bad medical news this week. So say a prayer for my mom, Edna Goldstein. She'd need that. I love you, Mom. I miss you, Dad. Show up. Pay attention. Tell the truth. Don't be attached to the outcome. And the good Lord's willing and the creek don't rise and there ain't no meltdown. We'll be back next week for some more Schnauzer Logic.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. We got like 40 seconds. We finished too soon.
Oh, we did?
Yeah, you got something. Well, not very much. You got, say something funny.
Can I tell a very dirty joke?
No.
All right.
We got like 20 seconds. Funny.
Funny.
Make Ken laugh.
Kenny, por ejemplo.
All right, that's it. Thanks. Right. Bye-bye.
This is over now, and you just got to deal with it.
I want you to know it's over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over!
It's over, Harvey. I'm sorry. I need to get on with my life.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.